Let's go back once more to the book of Hebrews in the fourth chapter. Hebrews chapter 4. Tonight, I want to get these five steps on record. And I'm going to read them. And then we'll go back and we'll comment on them. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his or God's rest, he also hath ceased from his own works as God did from his. That's very important, and you need to underline that, and you need to meditate on that, and you need to research scriptures about how God rested and so forth and so on, because you want to imitate him and do it the way he did it. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into his rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Or the cross-reference says, after the same example of disobedience. That's important. Now then, five things that we must look at this evening. Number one, we're going to be talking about sit down. Sit down. So number one, sit down, because the Word has everything covered. Number two, sit down. If you knew what to do, it wouldn't be a trial. Number three, sit down. Obey Jesus and shed the cares of this world. Number four, sit down saying. Number five, sit down. He is a faithful and merciful and just high priest. Praise God. Now then, let's look at Psalms 110. Hold your place there in the book of Hebrews. We don't want to get away from that. Put your bookmark or something on there. And let's go to Psalms, the 110th Psalm. Look at the first verse and the fourth verse. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Number four, the Lord hath sworn and will not repent. He won't change. We read about that in the book of Hebrews, about his unchangeableness. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now, we have found this now all over the Bible, right? Jesus is high priest after the order of Melchizedek, and God said to him, sit down on my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Now, turn with me to the book of Ephesians. And let's look at the second chapter, verse 1. You hath he quickened or made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we, you notice the Apostle Paul included himself in this, We all had our manner of life in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Ah, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, when? Even when we were dead in sin, he loved us. He was rich in mercy, even when we were dead in sin, and he's made us alive together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and has raised us up and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. No, you didn't get it. Maybe over here they got it. He's not the only one that got invited to come up there and sit until God made his enemies his footstool. We're supposed to be coming into the throne of grace.
Amen.
We're not supposed to come in there groveling around on your face. That's not boldly. Now, here's what's so big about this. Nobody sits in the presence of the Almighty God unless you're family. Angels don't come in there and sit down. When God created man, an angel said, "What is this man that you visit him?" I couldn't imagine it. They fly around in circles and say, "Holy, holy, holy." They're not allowed to just come sit. But we have a standing invitation. Come sit with me while I sit with my Father on his throne. You overcomers, come sit with me, he said. Sit down. Amen. Now remember, I'm telling you, that right in here is where you get back over there in the book of Hebrews, and you have to be very, very aware. Don't harden your heart to that. See, religion, that the demons of religion had better sense than to framework it where it looked like you were hard-hearted. It looked like you were trying to be humble. It looked like you were just doing your best to be tender-hearted and said, "Oh, I could never come sit in the presence of God. And I'm just a little nothing. I'm just a little nobody." How dare you? It said, when you were dead in your sin, he loved you and was so filled with mercy, he raised you up with Christ and had you saved and caused you to sit with him in heavenly places. Now go take your place. I mean, you may have knocking knees and all of that. That's all right. But put a smile on your face and go sit down and don't open your big blab mouth. Don't everybody know you don't know anything. Just be like me. Just smile real big and you get by all right. And say, "Yes, amen." Hallelujah. Praise God forever. So sit down. Now, go back over there to the book of Hebrews and let me show you something here. Hebrews 4, verse 10. He that has entered into his rest, God's rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into his rest, lest any man fall after the same example of disobedience. For, see the word F-O-R? You could say, because. There's a reason here. There's something happening here. Because something or other. For the word of God is alive, it's powerful, and it's sharper than, it say it was a two-edged sword, it said it's sharper than any two-edged sword. There ain't no sword that'll compare to it, praise God. Sharper than any two-edged sword. Oh, but look at this now. Now follow. Piercing. Even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow. And is a discerner of the thought and the intent of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his, the word, sight. But all things are naked and open under the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Everything is open to the one you're sitting next to. And you have a lap full of his wisdom. You have a source. You can sit down. The word's got you covered. I don't care what the situation is. I don't care who said what. I don't care who came in or who left out. I don't care what they call you. And I don't care who died. I don't care who didn't die. I don't care if they got a war on every side. If the economy's belly up. I don't care. The word's got you covered. Put a smile on your face and sit down and shut up. All you need to say is, yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. The word has got you covered. He knows it all. And it is all in that book. And his promises are yes and amen.
Amen.
Yes, and that settles it. Amen. Hallelujah. So sit down. The word has everything covered. Number two. If you knew what to do, this wouldn't be a trial. Every time this comes up, Brother Keith Moore preached a series. And there's one illustration he used. He came down at our place on Eagle Mountain, and in his message, I can see this right now. I can see it in my mind. It just marked me for life. Can you imagine someone opening a file drawer? You remember saying this. And they go one file after the other. And they start at the back and they come all the way back to the front. Start at the front and go all the way back to the back. Start at the back and come all the way back to the front. And then they start taking them out one at a time. Get them all out. Go through them all on the floor. And then start one at a time putting them back in there. It ain't in there. Whatever you're hunting is not in the drawer. You ought to know that by now. You're laying there in the middle of the night. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? Oh, God, what am I going to do? You're asking the wrong question. The question is, Lord, what do you want me to do? Not what am I going to do. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? Dear Lord, it ain't but 30 minutes to daylight, and I haven't had a wink's sleep. I got to work all day tomorrow. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? There you go. You pick it out all the way to the back and all the way back to the front. It ain't in there, Jack. It is not in your head. That answer is not there. Zero. If it was, it wouldn't be a test, a temptation, or a trial. Would it? You'd know what to do. Very rarely does the devil come at you with something you've been through before. He'll try to couch it in a way that you think, oh, what am I going to do? And here you go again. And you wake your wife up. What are we going to do? She says, why don't you shut up and go to sleep? Wake me up in the middle of the night. You know, now you're wore plumb out. You fall asleep and she's laying there thinking, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Empty the same ignorant file in your silly brain over and over. It's not there. But it is in your spirit. If the Holy Ghost is in there, then the answer's in there. The devil ain't pulled nothing new on God yet. Amen. So now, let's talk about this for a moment. Let's go to the first chapter of the book of James, one book to the right. Chapter 1. Sit down. If you knew what to do, it wouldn't be a trial. Sit down and rest. Verse 2, chapter 1 of the book of James. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into different temptation. This word temptation here is test, temptation, and trial. Knowing this. Now here's what you put in your mind. Here's what you put in your spirit. Here's what you put in your mouth. I know this, the trying of my faith, I release my patience, and patience will have her perfect work, and I will be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Good night. I'll see you in the morning.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, I've done it so many times, it isn't even funny. Wake up in the middle of the night. What are you going to do now? What are you going to do? I said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to the bathroom and go back to sleep. So shut up. Amen. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Now, settle that fourth verse right now. Just settle it right now. I am going to come out of this thing perfect and wanting nothing. I don't care what the attack is. It don't make any difference. Aretha Hagen said to Brother Hagen one time, she said, you wouldn't worry if me and both kids died. He said, what's the beat of use of worrying then? Both of you dead and gone. I mean, ain't no use worrying now. You think he's kidding, but he wasn't. He had learned this. I'm going to come out of this thing entire wanting nothing. Now, any of you, any man, lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Wisdom about what? See, specifically talking about wisdom in this situation, about this test, temptation, or trial. If you didn't need wisdom, it wouldn't be a test. If it's something you already knew how to handle, if God already taught it to you, and you already understood, or something you've been through before, and you know exactly what the Word said about it, and you're victorious in the past, you're going to be victorious again. That doesn't have that upsetting factor about it. But when you get broadsided and blindsided and your feet are where your head were yesterday, I mean, and you think, and the all that wild self-talk starts into your mind, you know, and it's just trying to run you up the wall about what you're going to do, and all these disasters begin to show up in your thinking and all of that. This is when you need to settle down knowing this. I'm coming out of this thing. I'm coming out of it perfect and entire and wanting nothing.
Well, Brother Copeland, you see, God promised to meet our needs, not our wants. Get you a New Testament and read the book of James.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
Lord, no lack.
Amen. Hallelujah. Now, if you lack wisdom about this, ask of God that giveth all men liberally, and upbraideth not. In other words, your faults will not keep him from giving you his wisdom. You probably caused this. You may have caused it unintentionally. You may just fouled up and it got worse than you thought it was going to be, and now here you're stuck in it, and the devil's telling you, yeah, you did this, and you're just not going to go to God about something like this. You're going to have to fix this before God will have anything to do with you. Why, you lying skunk? Get out of my house. If God held out his wisdom because of my faults, there wouldn't any of us ever get our faults corrected. Isn't that right? He's not the least bit interested in damning you. He is interested in your salvation, in your sitting down right there next to him, and he'll make your enemies your footstool. Now, that's his design and his way. He's not an absentee father. Amen. And he's certainly not a child abuser. He didn't cause this mess. But he'll teach you how to get out of it. Amen. So, it shall be given you. But now, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavers like a wave of the sea driven by the wind and tossed. Let not that man think he'll receive anything of the Lord, because he's double-minded. He prays one minute and worries the next. So, you're going to have to combat that. And I'm going to show you here in a moment just exactly how to do that. And it takes diligence. It is doable. But you can't just, you know, sit around and watch some bunch of fables on television and cut the TV off and then instantly go into this kind of, there's more to it than this. This is serious business. Amen. This is life and death business right here. Amen. Amen. But you and Jesus are more than enough.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
One person in God is a majority. Uh-huh. Two people in God, and they get anything they can agree on. This is powerful stuff. Now, what is the second one? If you knew what to do, it wouldn't be a trial. So go to God, but ask in faith. How do you ask in faith? Well, if that's a little strange to you, or a little fuzzy to you, you go to Mark 11, 22, 23, 24, and 25, and just follow instructions. Jesus was teaching on faith. Have faith in God. Okay, Father, I have faith in you, and it says right here that I'm to ask you for wisdom in this situation. You'll give it to me. I release my patience. I am not upset. I'm sitting here. I am sitting in peace right next to you, and I'll come out of this perfect entire wanting nothing. That I know, because that was promised me right there. Now, I have faith in God. Well, Jesus said in the next verse, whosoever, oh, thank God, that's me. Whosoever, that's me right here. Amen. I'm a whosoever and I'm a whatsoever. So I qualify in this. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he'll have whatsoever he says. So, take the next step. Ignorance in this situation, I speak to you in the name of Jesus, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea. I receive the wisdom of God in such and such situation and such, call it by its name. Such and such situation, you get out. You be removed and you be cast into the sea. I have victory over you and I'll be entire wanting nothing. I have what I say. I'm not going to doubt that. I did it in faith and I'm asking in faith. I now, verse 24, whatsoever you desire when you pray, believe you receive it and you shall have it. When? When you pray. Well, it says, if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. So, Father, I'm asking you in the name of Jesus, according to John 16:23, it says, "You whatsoever I ask in his name, you will give it me." I'm asking you right here. Here's the second word that confirms it. So I'm asking you on those two verses, that right there in the book of James, I'm asking you for the wisdom that I need in this test, temptation, and trial. And I believe I receive it while I pray. It's mine, and I want to thank you for it. And now it ain't nothing but a matter of time. That's mine. I receive it.
Well, how are you going to get anything? That ain't my job. I just finished my work. I believed I received when I prayed. Thank you very much. I spoke, I believed, and now I rest. Now, verse 25 says, "And if you have aught against any, forgive." Now, you better get busy on that. You spend some time on this. Get your mind off of this test, temptation, and trial. You've got that on the throne now. And that's coming. You'll find out. God will get it to you. Amen. Don't pick up that care, but take care of business here. Father, I forgive. I refuse to have an unforgiving heart. If I've wronged anybody, if I spoke wrongly to anybody, if I've been out of line here with this, reveal it to me. I refuse to violate the commandment of love. I'm committed to being a good steward of that commandment, to walk in love, and to keep that commandment in the name of Jesus. I love the Lord my God with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind and strength, and my neighbor as myself, because that's what pleases you. And I thank you for it. And I give you praise for it. Now you start that, and the answer to that thing will absolutely jump into place. There have been times in certain situations, Gloria and I would separate ourselves. I've done it by myself. She and I have done it together. She's done it by herself. Where we just set aside 3 days and not pray about anything else but this particular situation. And I said, "Now, Lord, I'm rolling all the care of my prayer responsibilities and so forth that I pray about every day and so forth, and the praying for my nation and praying for all men to come to the knowledge of the truth and the peace and the honesty and godliness of the church and the peace of Jerusalem and those that have despitefully used and persecuted me and all those different things that I am obligated to pray because obedience to your word, I'm putting that into the hands of the Holy Spirit and suspending it for 3 days. And if it need be, you can bring it up as I pray in the Spirit in other tongues. Pray in a language I didn't learn to handle this. Because I don't want to depend on my own thinking. Reason I'm here is because I don't have the answer in my own thinking. I need to get it out of my spirit being. And I received the wisdom of God in this situation. It has never, ever yet in 41 years, I learned how to do this in 1967 while I was a student at Oral Roberts University. And I've been doing it that many years and it's never gone the whole 3 days. Sometimes late the second day. But by the third day, I had my answer and I was rejoicing, thanking God. I knew the scripture I was supposed to stand on. I knew what I was supposed to do. I knew what I was supposed to say. And it was just a joy to watch God work it out. Some very, very serious matters. Serious matters of health. Serious matters of finance. Serious, serious decisions of ministry and life and children and family and all these different things. What a way to live. Sit down. If you knew what to do, it wouldn't be a test or a trial. Amen.
Amen.
You got the book. You have access to the wisdom. It's in the promise. Rest. Take your rest. He'll make your enemies your footstool. Amen.
Amen.
All right, now then, number three. Sit down, obey Jesus. and shed the cares of this world. Let's look at the 14th chapter of John's Gospel. John chapter 14. Matthew, Mark, look at John. That's what Kelly, that's the way she used to quote the Gospels.
I'm saying, what are you looking at me for?
John chapter 14. And let's look at the first verse. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe in me. Now, look at the 27th verse. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world gives it. I don't give it and take it away. You don't have to earn it from me. That's the way the world gives. I'll give it to you, but if you don't give me something, I'll take it back. No, he said, I'll give it to you. You can't earn it from me. My peace I give unto you, not as the world gives I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I hear right here in this verse, you have authority over whether or not your heart's afraid or not. He said, don't do it. How do you not do it? Well, first, be obedient to him. Sit down and obey. Receive the peace. Don't harden your heart and say, but Lord, you just don't understand what I'm going through. I know the Bible says I'm supposed to have peace. You just hardened your heart. You have an invitation to rest, and you just hardened your heart. Don't do that. I realize you didn't intend to do it, but that didn't mean you didn't do it. That's the reason. It's still, the hurt is still in there trying to kill you. Receive the peace. I mean, you may be so agitated and torn up right at that moment, your feelings, you just feel awful. Well, don't base anything on your feelings. They'll be different in the morning. Base it on the eternal word of the living God. I don't care how you feel. If you have to get yourself by the ear and get it done, I say, now shut your mouth and you obey Jesus. Sit down there. Jesus, I receive your peace. I receive it in your mind saying, you ain't got any peace. Shut up, mind. Amen. Shut up, heart. I refuse to allow you to be troubled, Jesus said. For me not to be afraid and for me not to be troubled, I take my place on this throne of grace. I sit down here. I'm entering into the secret place. I'm entering into this place of rest. And by God, Satan, you're not coming in here and disturb me. You can't get in here. I'm in a secret place. You can't get in here. You're seeking whom you may devour, and I'm not one of them. You can't find me. I'm behind closed doors. I'm going to be peaceful. If it rips a hole in Georgia, I'm going to be peaceful. Amen. That's what Jesus said, and I'm going to obey it. I don't care what I have to put me through. I am going to obey that. Now, when I take that stand, he is a faithful and just high priest. Immediately, that peace will go to work on you. And it won't be but a moment. All that rip-roaring around just drains out. Why, it looked like it never would leave. And here you are 30 seconds later, the big smile on your face and... glory to God. Hallelujah. I know what I'm talking about. I've done it too many times. And it looked like this disturbance and this agitation down in my gut was forever. And you just stood up and said, hallelujah! And it's gone. One big rip-roaring shout and the thing just evaporates. I don't know what I was upset for anyhow. Here I sit on the throne of grace, all upset over some car fender. Dear Lord, how silly. Amen. Amen. So, sit down obey Jesus. Now, here we're going into the meat store. Go over to 1 Peter. Oh, you got to learn how to do this. A lot of you have, more of you need to. 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse 5. You younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. All of you be subject one to another. Now look. And be clothed. Be clothed. Get a picture of this. I did this a number of times with a coat, or most especially an overcoat of some kind. Be clothed, put it on. It's a purposeful thing. It's not something that's just going to fall on you. I mean, you have to, on purpose, put it on. Be clothed. You never got up some morning and all of your clothes came running in there and jumped on you. You had to put them on. You had to make a decision what you were going to wear. And I don't care if you didn't have but one shirt, one pair of breeches, and one pair of shoes. You had to make a decision to put them on. And if you had two pair of socks, which pair? You actually, if you had two pair of socks, you actually have four pair. Because you could wear the red one on one foot and the blue one on the other. And then you could put the blue one on the other foot and the red one on the other. Then you could wear both red ones and then you could wear both blue ones. See?
Well, I couldn't do that.
Well, then you ain't got but two pair. But it's your choice. Now, see, all of this right here, this is your choice. You have a right to disobey this. It's an ungodly thing to do it. But nevertheless, it falls inside your rights as a human being. You have a right to go to hell if you want to, and God will protect your right to go. Yes, sir. And cry his heart out when you do. Now look at it carefully. Be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. See there, Brother Copeland, I told you. Now, you're just prideful. You just want to go sit down on that throne. And after all, we're just unworthy. We're just sinners saved by grace. We just lucky to get to go to heaven. There ain't nothing luck about this. Get that lousy word out of your vocabulary anyway. You can trace the word back to Lucifer.
Yes.
Look, and Lucifer.
Yes.
Now look. Be clothed with humility. Now look at verse 6. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Now here's the way you humble yourself before God. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Cast it all. Well, if he'd just take half of it, I think I could bear the rest of it. You're full of pride. Trying to be your own God. You don't qualify. You're supposed to be at rest. You're supposed to be at peace. You're supposed to have a heart that's not troubled and with no care. Jesus went to great detail and great length in the 4th chapter of the book of Mark to teach you about the cares of this world entering in will choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. And the cares of this world are called thorns. And people fight small wars over Paul's thorn in the flesh. when all the time he told you exactly what that thorn was, and he told you more than one way. A messenger of Satan sent to buffet him. Well, you see, Brother Copeland, God sent a demon to keep him from getting in pride. He, what?
That's like sending a dog to guard the meat. You don't send a demon to keep somebody out of pride.
Yeah. I believe that's the answer to the question. How dumb can you get? I believe we found it right there.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
You remember when the Apostle Paul listed all of the things, the shipwreck and the beatings and the whippings and the dungeons and the jails and all of that? Remember when he listed all that? Now listen to what he said. All of that from the outside, but from the inside, the care of all the churches. Now he didn't have any business doing that. Those churches weren't his. He should have been doing this. But he got under the care of it. And it liked to got him. But thank God, he got out from under the care of it. He said, I've been delivered from all these things. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, care is translated as overwhelming mental burden and exhausting emotional affairs. Worry. Cares of this world. Entering in, Jesus said, choke the word. Now that's the key issue. Don't let it in there. Roll that care. Get out from under it. Our ministry got $6 million behind on television bill one time. Man, I'm telling you, here I am believing God all the time to be out of debt, and I owe $6 million worth of TV bills, and the fussier I got, the more it got deeper in debt. And I went to the Lord, I said, I'm going to start selling off this property. I got to get out of money. He said, what you going to sell next month? Well, I knew that wasn't the answer to it. I'll just shoot my big mouth on. Well, here we are. Our board of trustee meeting is the next day. I dreaded it. I'm going to have to get up there in front of that board and tell those people what an absolute horrible job I've done in this ministry. And, man, oh, I held off until after midnight. I did not want to read that year-end report. It's a disaster. Well, at that time, George Pearson, who's our son-in-law and pastor, he and Terry, pastor of Eagle Mountain International Church. Well, at that time, he was executive director of Kenneth Copeland Ministries. And the process was each department makes their year-end report. They hand them all in then to George, who's the executive director. Then he makes his year-end report, and then he reports the whole thing to me. And now I got to take this whole thing. See, and I didn't want to open the book, man. I had this thing for about 3 days, and I didn't open it till after midnight, and I got to show up over there in the morning. I didn't want to see it. Well, I got to look at this. So I went in there, and I didn't go in there. I drug in there. And I opened that book, and I started through. I hollered at Gloria, come here. She come running in there. What is it? I said, look at this. We've had the best year we ever had, and I didn't know it. I said, look at this. One department right after the other. All but the TV department.
I said, Lord, what is this? And the word of the Lord come to me. I mean, he'd like to knock me out of my chair. He said, I want you to look at this. Every department in this ministry had the best year, debt-free operation overflow. It's the best year this ministry has ever had. All but the one you carried the care of, and your department is failing. And he said, you better get out from under it and let me have this. I said, my Lord, I know better than this. I've learned better than this. I have sinned and I repent and I receive my forgiveness for it. I grabbed Gloria's hand. We went to praying. I'm telling you, we rolled the care. We humbled ourselves under the mighty hand of God and rolled that care over on him. Now, let me show you the process, because I'm telling you, you get in a habit of thinking about this stuff. And you get in a habit of thinking unbelieving thoughts. You get in a habit of building mental scenarios, and if you're not careful, they hadn't even come to pass yet. They get in your mouth, you'll start calling things that be not as though they were, not in faith, but in unbelief, and they will come to pass. Because out of the evil treasure of an evil man's heart, evil things come to pass, for out of the abundance of his heart his mouth speaks. Didn't Jesus say that? So it's not just on the good stuff. You can bring all that worry to pass. And that's what I was doing. So we began to roll that care. Now notice this. Casting all your care upon him, because he cares for you. Be sober and be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, is trying to find a way to devour you. You better do this. This is not optional. Because as long as you're carrying it, the grace of God is literally resisting you. You're not walking by grace. You're trying to fix it. You're clothed with pride. You didn't know it is pride. I've heard people say, well, now, Lord, you know I've never asked anything for myself. Well, that's a reason you ain't got anything, too. Like that was being humble. That's not being humble. That's just dumb and untaught. Now, we did this. I wrote down the time. Both of us signed it. In the name of Jesus, I rolled the care of this television bill and all the TV finances over on you. I'll never, as long as I live, write an appeal letter. I don't beg people for money. I sow seed and I believe God, and I'm not carrying the care of this anymore. And that, in this, from this moment on, I refuse it in my thought life. Now you go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Go over there. And this will give you the process. Verse 3, though we walk in the flesh, we don't war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but they're mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. Now, that care has gotten in your mind. It's become a stronghold, and you'll think about it without even realizing you're thinking about it. You're in the habit of thinking about it. You're talking about it. You're thinking about it, talking about it, talking about it, thinking about it. It's on your mind all the time. Worrying about it. Casting down imaginations, reasoning, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. You're going to have to get stirred up, and you're going to have to rebuke every thought that comes to your mind that is even an attempt to get you to carry that care. I was talking to Brother Phil on the telephone, and this is when all that court trial going on and all that ragged mess just hounding and hounding and hounding. Lynn's dear mama passed away right in the middle of all this mess. They jumped on her and indicted her and was going to try to send her mother to the penitentiary over something that was not illegal.
Bless her heart. What a mess. Now, you talk about a bunch of care. And I was feeling, I was talking about these scriptures right here. And the Lord had just spoke to him, and he said, the Lord told me to put those thoughts in prison and don't let them out. Man, that blessed me. I still do it today. I still use that today. I said, no. No, I refuse to think that. I refuse that thought. That is not my thought, and I'm not going to think it. I cast that imagination down, and I put you in prison. I put you in captivity by the power and the name of the Lord Jesus, and I'm not thinking that again. 30 seconds later, I'll be right back on your mind, and you catch yourself thinking about it. Well, revenge it. I mean, get mean. You tell your mind what to think, and don't you let your heart be troubled. You have to be diligent because the devil is riding you. But he's done. Nope, I don't touch the care. I can see now what God was preparing you for. The biggest war battle you ever had in your life. But you won it. You won it. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, man, I mean, I'd just be going along and suddenly I'd be thinking about that $6 million. What am I going to do? What am I going to... And I'd say it out loud. I rebuke that thought. I bring you under captivity and I cast you out of my mind. You cannot fight thoughts with thoughts. You have to fight thoughts with words. Now, I've demonstrated this over the years because the Lord instructed me to. I want to demonstrate it to you tonight. Now, will you do what I ask you to do?
Yes.
Will you?
Yes.
All right. Begin counting silently in your mind from 1 to 10 now. Out loud, tell me your name. Now, about 25 of you told me your name and the rest of you just sat there like a frog on a stump. Your lack of obedience and your lack of entering in and just sitting there and just looking is one of the reasons the devil can get you by the nose and just rip you for everything you're worth. Amen. You're slow to obey. Well, you don't have to get on me. But yeah, I do. That's my job. He gets on me, I get on you. That's the name of the game. Now, I'm going to ask you again. Will you do what I ask you to do?
Yes.
Thank you. It's not hard. But this is important. There's something very, very strong to learn here, and I want you to experience it. And you can't unless you will do what I ask you to do. Now, begin counting silently in your mind, starting with 1, going towards 10 now. Out loud, tell me your name. What happened to your counting? It had to quit and see what your mouth had to say. Now, 1, you had to make a decision to do what I ask you to do. I had to get rough with you to get a lot of you to do it. Huh? But then you responded. 2, you had to make a decision to count silently. Your mind did exactly what you told it to do. You didn't start at 10 and go backwards. If you did, nobody knows it but you and God. No, I know you didn't. You did what I asked you to do. You started at 1 and you started up towards 10. Then I said, say your name out loud. Then you had to make a decision to do that. When you made the decision to do that, your mind and your mouth did exactly what you told it to do. Now, don't stand up there and tell me and God that you can't control your mind. You just did it. It works 100% of the time. But 100% of the time, you have to obey. You have to enter in. You have to act on that word. You have to cast the care. Nobody but you can do it. You put the word of God in your mouth, and your mind has to stop and see what your mouth has to say. At the end of 2 weeks, it only came up a couple of times a day. At the end of 3 weeks, somebody had to mention it to me for me to even remember that there was a $6 million bill against this ministry. That was in March, April, May, June. The $6 million was paid. And July, we paid that $2 million. I believe it was $2 million, wasn't it, Gloria? What was Gloria? Wasn't it $2 million a month? Pretty as you are, how could I miss? My, my. $2 million bill, for the first time in the ministry's experience, we paid it in one check. I wasn't carrying the care anymore. Jesus picked it up. Never wrote an appeal letter. Never did anything but write my partner letter. Did you go check and see how that money come in? No, I just paid the bill. Wasn't my business. I didn't cause it to come in. How many pastors do I have in here? Can I see you? All right. You listening? If you've already done this, you repent before you leave this building tonight. Don't count your offerings and average them up so that you know it's about $28 a piece, and now I can know when we're going to have the church payment. You're carrying care. You've cut yourself down to $28 a head. You're not in the cattle business. Stop that!
Right.
I mean it. Quit that. Roll that care over on the Lord. And do what He tells you. Preach what He says. Preach. You ain't for hire. Bless God, if they all want to go home, preach to empty seats. God will fill them up. You keep preaching, they'll fill up. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, would Jesus dare insist for you to cast all of your care over on Him, for He cares for you, and then not receive them? No way. The word said He is a merciful, faithful, and just high priest to forgive us our sins when we confess them and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen?
Amen.
He gives grace to the humble. You just humbled yourself and He's not going to give you grace?
No.
Oh, man, don't give me that. Can't receive that. All right. Do you remember what Jesus said to the leper that came to Him and said, "Sir, I know you can if you will. You can heal me. You can make me whole. You can get rid of this leprosy." You remember what Jesus said?
I will.
I will. Well, which one of those translations was it, Keith, where He said, "Why, certainly I will." One of the later translations of that same verse of Scripture. He said, "Why, certainly I will."
Yeah, of course.
Of course I will. Well, that's what He came to do.
Yeah.
Is remove the curse.
Yeah.
And minister the blessing.
Right.
He hasn't changed a second. He's just gotten bigger. Hallelujah. Now, listen. Are you listening to me? About a year ago, I was going through this same exercise over some things. Just having a big time rolling this kick. The Lord said, I mean, just this plain. Now, see, yeah, but Brother Copeland, you a prophet. Well, what are you?
that you don't qualify to hear the word of the Lord. His sheep know his voice. Well, to know his voice, he's got to speak. He's speaking all the time. Quit being so dense and you'll hear it. How do you quit being spiritually dense? Listen. Try being quiet. I was just going on, just a praying, just a confessing the word. And before I knew any of these kind of things, and I thought, I'm just going to be quiet and see if the Lord will say something to me. And I went, right in here, he said, well, it's about time. I couldn't get a word in edgewise. I said, what? Thrill me to no end. I shut up too. Amen. But I was exercising this, casting that care. And he said, I'd just been going through that series on God's will to heal. Just dynamite series Brother Keith preached. And I was studying all of the healings of the Bible. Jesus and Keith just did a marvelous job in teaching that. And the Lord said, you remember there now what I said to that leper? I said, yes, sir. You said, I will. I said, all right. Now, you just got through exercising my word in 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7. I said, yes, sir. He said, didn't I say in there that I made a demand of you to cast all of your care over on me? I said, yes, sir. He said, wouldn't be right for me to refuse to take that care, would it? I said, no. He said, Kenneth, I will take the care. I said, glory to God. Then he said, Kenneth, I will take care of it. Then I shouted, my God, Jesus said he'd take care of it. That settled it. Then he said, Kenneth, I will be your caretaker. I said, now, Lord, now, expand on that a little bit, because the way we, in the natural way we use that term, he said, I'm talking to you about the same way you use that term. He said, if you have a nice piece of property here and one of your cares is to take good care of this property, you want it taken care of. You don't have time to care this yard. You're not even trained to do that. You're looking for somebody that knows how to take care of this fine grass and this fine shrubbery and this fine piece of property that I gave you. You're not just looking for some hacker to take it over. You're not looking for some kid to just mow the thing. You want it taken care of, right? So what do? You find a caretaker. He said, I am your caretaker. I will take care of the most precious things you have if you roll it over on me. And sit down and shut up and rest. I said, yes, sir. I rolled a care of it over on him, and I refused to go back and pick it up. I refuse. I'm not going to go pick that up. Amen. Now, let me, and I'll get off this point right here. Let me show you something. Now, this is my little clock. Leroy Thompson gave me this clock. And he was using it to preach by there at the church at EMIC. And he gave it to me. And everybody clapped. Well, I rolled that care over on the Lord, and I don't pay no attention to it. Amen. Now, I want to show you something here, Jenny. Now, somebody come up to me and said, Brother Copeland, could I borrow your clock? If you want to talk to anybody about that clock, you're going to have to talk to my granddaughter, Jenny, here about it, because I just cashed it over on her. I didn't say there wasn't a clock. She's got it. I don't have it. You understand? It don't do you any good to talk to me about it. You notice how quick I got it back? It's mine. That's how quick you can get those cares back, too. You go pick them up. They belong to you. You made the mess. And if you want to pick them up, Jesus has no choice but to take his hands off of you. You make your choice. If you want to walk in pride and try to fix it and worry and get sick at the belly over it, well, then you got a real problem here when you come back to get your belly healed, when all the time you've been trying to be God.
That's right.
But now if you'll cast the care and roll it over on the Lord, the stuff in your belly will quit.
That's right.
You understand what I'm saying here? I'm making it as plain as I can get it. Amen. Now, sit down, obey Jesus, and shed the cares of this world. Amen. Number four, sit down saying. Let's look at Psalm 91. You enter into this place. Go ahead and go back there to the book of Hebrews in case you did like I did and closed your book on it. Go back in chapter 4 again, because we're going to go back and forth here. Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place, he that dwelleth in the resting place, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow, under the covering of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he's my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him do I trust. That's the way you get in there. That's the way you labor to enter into that resting room. Put it in your mouth and don't say anything else. Now, go back over there to the fourth chapter of Hebrews. Seeing then, verse 14, that we have a great high priest that's passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. How do you find the help? The word's got you covered. You go to the James and you get his wisdom. You obey Jesus and shed the care and receive the grace and sit down with a praise on your lips. I have a Father and he is God. He is the King of Kings. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I will dwell in the secret place of the Most High God. He's my God. And I fear no evil when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Because I dwell in the green pastures beside the still waters. I'm in the secret place, the place of rest. Huh? I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Now, Jesus said, when they despitefully use and persecute you, sow it as a seed. Pray for them. God doesn't want you carrying that care. He doesn't want you trying to retaliate and get that mess in your spirit. He'll retaliate for you. The Bible says in the 12th chapter of Romans, make room for vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Roll the care of it over on him. He knows what they said. He'll deal with them. Yeah, Brother Copeland, but he won't do nothing bad to them. Don't tell him what he'll do and what he won't do. He can handle it any way he wants to. If he wants to turn him into the best friend I ever had, glory to God, I'll have a wonderful friend. But that's not my call. And that's the reason he said, don't you start judging or you'll get judged. You get rid of it. Sit down, obey Jesus, shed the cares. Amen. And pray for those that despitefully use you and persecute you. And just rest. Enter into that rest. Don't let the devil or anybody else disturb it. The unbelieving Christians can't even get in there. Just pray for them. Pray in the Spirit over it. Love them. Walk in love. You don't want to foul up your belief system. You don't want to foul up your spirit with that trash and get you in a place where it's dangerous for your life. You want to keep your spirit clean, keep it full of the Word of God, keep your faith strong, which worketh by love, and stay with praise in your heart, and stay at peace, all the time, stay at peace. Don't let them disturb you. Hallelujah. The devil comes in and starts yang, yang, yang around you, say, what is your name again? Devil, is that your name? Well, devil, I just can't tell you how much I don't care. And laugh at it. It just absolutely boils his innards. He's the spirit of pride, and he can't take that, and he will get away from you. You resist him, and he'll flee. Amen. Now, we're getting there. So, sit down saying, hold fast to your confession of faith. Hold fast that He is my refuge. He is my God. In Him I do trust. He is my strength. He is my overflowing power. He is the sustainer of my life. And a strong spirit will sustain you in times of trouble and pain. All that scripture. Fill your mouth with it. Hallelujah. That's a whole lot better than trying to curse somebody and hurt them. Amen. Leave all of that to God. Now, my Lord, doesn't that make me vulnerable to everybody that wants to jump on me? I got to love them all. He said, no. Now, wait a minute. I have those in the body of Christ that are anointed to wear the sword, and they don't wear it in vain. Now, you put your dependence in me. I have people called to take care of this stuff. He said, you roll all that care over on me. I'll take care of it. Now, if you came up to me, Keith, if you came up to me and I said, Keith, go on now. I know you're busy. I'll take care of this. Go on and do whatever it is you need to do. Well, you go get in your car and you head on towards the appointment and you're sitting there thinking, man, I hope that Wait a minute. What am I thinking about? Brother Copeland told me he'd take care of that. I don't even have to think about that anymore. Right. You just go on. Right. I mean, you know, if you know me and you know I'm a man of my word and I told you I'd take care of you, go on. Right. Think how powerful it is when you have rolled that care over on the Lord because he cares for you and you have a thought of it and you think, ha, 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 Jesus said he'd take care of it. Well, I'm sure not going to mess with it. Dear Lord, let him have it. Hallelujah. Well, I just got to get that new car. I'm not going to be happy and have any joy. You're in trouble now because you've gotten off into covetousness. You didn't know it, but you are. You're coveting the car. That car is not the secret to your happiness, nor your joy, nor your success. That's materialism. Having material is not materialism. Trying to use material things to satisfy spiritual needs is materialism. And it will not work. It's got sorrow with it. But when you roll the care of it over on the Lord, and you say, Lord, I've sowed my seed, and I know exactly what that car looks like, and I'll roll all the care of it over on you, and I'm going to go wash this wonderful thing that I'm driving now. Clean it all up and shine it up and polish it up and put some effort into it and say, Lord, I'll tell you, you got somebody that needs this wonderful car. It's been a blessing to me. I have not been walking. I got close, but I'm not walking. Praise the Lord. I'll sow it. I'll do whatever you say because you're my caretaker. You're my caretaker. I don't have a care. Hallelujah. You talk about a sweet life to live. You get up every morning thinking, what is he going to do today? Every time the phone rings, whoa! You think this is it? I've been living this way for 41 years, man. And I'm still jumpy. Amen. I mean it. Hallelujah. Now, he is faithful, he's merciful, and he's just. Hebrews 2:17, you're right there. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. To be faithful to God, he has to be faithful to you. And then we find in 1 John chapter 1, the 9th verse. Thank God he is faithful and just. He's righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness when we confess it, not when you feel better about it. Don't try to judge him by the way you feel, guilty or not. Believe you receive it. Be bold about it. You did it. Confess it. Don't call it your problem. Well, you know, I'm working on it. I've had this drinking problem, but I'm working on it. You're working on it? You went from 3 6-packs a day to 2. You're working on it? Well, you know, Brother Copeland, I'm just kind of high-tempered. I know I slap my wife around and my children and all that, and I ought not to do that. It's funny that I can't help but slap people around spirit don't come on you while you're standing next to Mike Barber. That's good. Or me. I may turn my other cheek. But I have weapons of my warfare that I will use on you too. Amen. I may not hit you with my fist, but I will deal with you. I love you now. You understand? Amen. No, you go before Jesus. Humble yourself. You don't need to wait till you get a crowd. Go into a secret place before him. He's not going to put your picture on the front page of the paper. That's the way the devil does business. Yeah. This is the secret place of the Most High God. The secret things belong to God. Get on your face before him. Jesus, I humble myself in your presence. I sin, call it by its ugly, dirty name. Poof, spew it out your mouth. Because that's when you confessed it, was not when he found out about it.
That's right.
That's when you got rid of it. And then release your faith. Not your feelings, your faith. You're faithful, and I believe I receive my forgiveness right now. And my total cleansing washed in the blood of the Lamb. Now turn over to the 43rd chapter of Isaiah. We are beginning to close. Why do you laugh when I say that? You know, I'll tell you the truth. I'm beginning to close. Verse 25, are you there? I, even I, am he that blotteth out your transgressions for my own sake and will not remember your sins. I said, Lord, I know I've always had problem with this. Now, not that I don't believe it or argue with it. I believe it. But you said, I, even I, blot out your transgressions for my own sake. I said, I know you did it for my sake, but here you said you did it for your sake. Now, what do you get out of it? And hear the word of the Lord. It came leaping back at me. He said, do you want to remember bad things about your children? I said, no. He said, neither do I. That straightened me out on that. But then I said, whoa, now what about this next verse then? Put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. You declare that you may be justified. I said, what does that mean then? If you don't want to remember any bad thing about me because I'm your child, what does that mean? He said, Kenneth, I didn't say I kind of don't remember. I almost don't remember. He said, I said, I blot out my mind. I am offering you a blank page in my memory. Now you fill it up with what you want me to remember about you. Man, I shouted as loud as I could. I'm blessed. I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed. I'm blessed going in and I'm blessed coming out. I'm blessed in the city and I'm blessed in the field. I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed. Thank you for not forgetting that. See, you don't want to start in, oh God, I'm just a sorry old bum, no good drunkard. Dear God, I've been trying to quit this old demon liquor all these years. I just, oh God, I know you just can't stand me. Nobody can stand me. Nobody loves me. What do you want him to remember that for? Get over it. Lay it at his feet.
Yep. But I slipped.
Well, go back in there, dum-dum. Forgive me for calling you dum-dum. Meathead. Go back. Well, now, wait a minute. Now, whoa, whoa, whoa. Meathead is scriptural. Yes, sir. Huh? What is carnal? Carne. Chili con carne. That's chili and meat. Carnal minded is meathead. Aren't you glad you came tonight? Oh, hallelujah. He's faithful and he's just. For him not to forgive you when you released your faith, and for him not to blot out his memory on your transgressions, for him not to do it would be unjust, it would be unmerciful, it would not be true, and it would not be faithful. He would have to lie to God because he promised he would do it. He had to lie to you because it's in his book that he promised he'd do it. Now take him at his word. Now, shed your old, religious, unworthy skin. Those old sin tags. I'm just an old sinner, saved by grace. Dump it. You were an old sinner. You got saved by grace. And now you're a king and a priest with a seat next to royalty himself. Enter into the secret place of the Most High. Unashamed. He's sure not ashamed of you. The scripture said, he's not ashamed to call us his brethren. Oh, but Brother Copeland, I'm just so unworthy. Take that coat off before you go in there. Get rid of all that death talk. You're not going to get to heaven and run into the throne of grace and in the throne room of God and say, whoa, don't this thrill you to death? No. If you're still talking that way and you get to heaven, they're going to send you to school, Bubba. You ain't going around heaven talking like that. Amen. I'm serious. Get rid of it now. Get your faith. Put on the
armor of God and stand against the devil. And then slip that armor off. Put on your robe and go in the secret place. And sit down next to him and see him with that smile on his face. And he says, come on in, man. Come sit down here with me, sweetheart. I got your enemies on the run. You just sit here. I'll make them your footstool. Hallelujah. Somebody needs to shout amen. Would you stand with me, please? Sit down. The word has you covered. Sit down and you'll find out what to do with the wisdom of God. Sit down and obey Jesus and shed the cares of this world. Sit down saying, he is my refuge. He is my God. I hold fast to my confession before my high priest. He is a faithful and merciful and just high priest. Confess your sin and receive your forgiveness and your cleansing and go sit down next to him. Shed your old religious, unworthy skin and fill your mouth and fill your mind with Romans 8:2. For there is now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. I'm free. Shout it at me. You can beat yourself over the head and condemn yourself for sin, for failure. You can condemn yourself and condemn yourself and condemn yourself, and it'll never ever change you or anything else. You just wind up condemned. But you can come boldly. And you can confess the sin and come out of that place clean and rejoice. Oh, free. I'm free. I'm free. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, he's high priest over the law of the Spirit of life, has made me free from the law of sin and death. He is Lord over the law of sin and death. He defeated it in your name. We believe it in his name. He defeated it in your name. It's yours. I said it's yours. Oh, hallelujah. Brother Keith, would you come give one more invitation in this meeting? You carry such an anointing for that ministry that, oh, my. Hallelujah.